reboot often and check. Hope everything's doing fine. You're doing well.
It is, Wardogo. It's always good to hear you. Thank you once again for helping us translate. It is a real honor for me to speak to guys at the front, and I greatly appreciate that. I couldn't do it given the language barriers. I am very delighted to hear from you because I like you too. Thank you for making all of this possible.
Thank you in return. With all of the help that Maria Report listeners been doing in the past, with all of the amazing and incredible job that Maria Report overall does and making Ukrainian topic vocal, all of the good things that within Maria Report community being done in the past, it lines up with the whole good history of good things being done in the past. There is even Maria Report that thread with several different messages, just lining it up in the good history of helping different units, different local organizations in Ukraine, like for instance Kherson administration with the solar power generators and many other things to civilians and to military. And yeah, certain things work in very good manner, because as we've been discussing earlier, and it's not a big secret that in the current situation of war that Ukraine is in, many units, many specific guys in Ukraine, they're lack of many things. And it's a little bit of a job to connect together those who are in need and those who can help. But when this thing matches, a lot of interesting can come up. What do you think?
It is. The reason we do the Maria Report, of course, combating Russian disinformation, that's vital to what we do. But I like to think that the most important thing we do is help people in Ukraine. And I am always so happy to be able to talk to guys on the front, find out what they need, what they want, but more importantly, to give our listeners this sort of unfiltered view from the front. We're going to try to get as many audience members as we can to ask questions today, so we'll get that moving. We'd like you to hear directly from the front what's going on. It's not going to go through editors and media filters. You can hear it right from the front. Again, it is just absolutely an honor for me to speak to these guys. And these units, folks, they have an international reputation. They are in the first tier. Tier one of special operations forces in the world. The tactics that they are using, the changing 21st century battlefield, they are likely among the most experienced and most cutting edge special operations forces in the world. They are doing things on that changing battlefield, on the absolute cutting edge of tactics and what an evolving battlefield looks like. Frankly, you have a lot of experience in American special operations forces as well. They are really quite good. But this is a unique battlefield, the war in Ukraine. Things have changed from back when I was an operator. It's like a generational change. The threats are different. The sensors are different. The tactics of the enemy are different. The electronic warfare environment is different. These forces, the Alpha Force, Alpha Unit, and their counterparts in the National Guard, the Omega units, like I said, world-class reputation, world-class capability, and 700 actually combat experience since 2014, and 700 days here working on this war too, the War of Ukrainian Liberation. So please come with your questions today. We're going to be delighted to take them, and we do want to thank Wardogo again for being our trend.
About the technologies and about how the things change, how the war changes, I've got an interesting story for you. We are all in all of this electronic warfare, jammers, specific devices, electronic countermeasures. A couple of days ago, I got the guy, he's telling me, hey, look what I've got. And he's showing me a specific adapter, which is, you will laugh, which is actually a kind of the musket. And this adapter is used is plugged instead of 40 millimeter grenade to M433, actually it's just the metal tube done from the same metal as the mortars being done, and is you will laugh. On one side it is using as the propellant the 12 gauge shell.
You're kidding.
I'll tell you. On the other side is filled with the projectile. All of this rolls from the bulb bearings. It is closed with the Coca-Cola or any other water plastic cap. Actually, what it does, like it does the significant amount of this buckshot spread, like around 50 meters, and is 7 gauge magnum shots at once. The recoil is like 50 bmg, and we are like discussing all of this electronic warfare jammers. Here's the guy saying, hey, look what I've got. You just simply shot one, you just an empty shell of the 40 millimeter grenade, you just take it off, you stick another one, and you shoot another one if you need. So that's how we try to hunt the drones. And another guy in the discussion is like entering, hey, you know what, but can we use it from a drone? Let's imagine I put a paracord to it, I put some kind of trigger that works when it is dropped. Can you imagine launching this from the top to the bottom? Like from the 50 meters, that's gonna be handmade HIMARS if you want. These brains are like working together, making the things, making Russians not really happy.
It would be, yes, you have a flying Claymore mine. That is amazing. While I have a moment, I would just want to tell everyone I'm joined here today, hosting by Jenna. Thank you so much. She'll be helping me wrangle some questions up as well. War Dog, will you talk about those field expedient modifications that guys in the field come up with? It sounds like you've come up with an equivalent. There was a 40 millimeter grenade round that I, in fact, used to carry. It was the one I kept in the tube, and it was full of flechettes, which are flying nails. It had 500 nails in it. I figured I'd keep one in the tube because if I got contacted, I didn't know about it. I figured I was already in big trouble. So this was a great way to make an impression. It's amazing to me to hear what everybody does in the field. Our superiors would probably be astounded.
Good evening, Jack. Good evening, Wardogo. Let me just interject. I am very excited to be here tonight and so happy and honored to co-host with you, Jack. Really excited about this. And Wardogo, again and again, you always prove the ingenuity of Ukrainian people. To be very honest, it also reminds me a little bit of my late grandpa, who, if he didn't have a piece of tech, he would just invent and build a piece of tech. I can really feel this in my heart. Thank you for sharing this.
We are always so happy to have War Dog up here, Jenna, and you too. This is the first time I think we've worked together. I'm so happy. Welcome. I feel in good hands because I am not the most adept co-host.
Thank you, Chuck. Indeed, this is our very first time together. I think I usually confuse myself, but I'm sure we will do very well together. Let's carry on about the cool tech, right?
Yes, absolutely. Wardogo, what other breaking developments can we frame today's guest with?
I believe Vladimir is already trying to get up to the speakers panel. And I think that there are a lot of interesting things that have been happening in the recent days, including Russians fighting Russians in Russia and all of that. Maybe Vladimir knows something about it. Maybe he will be capable within the allowed frames to discuss anything from that perspective. Would be interesting. In any case, our beautiful listeners community can prepare the questions and we can go through all together, knowing that we've got the guy who is actually from the front lines, from the special force unit, And that's how the things work. In one click away from the guy who is on the ground.
Absolutely. We are right now trying to lift him up to speaker. Vladimir, if you are listening, we're trying to make that happen right now.
Володимире, ми зараз намагаємося вас підняти до панелі спікерів, і як тільки приєднаєтеся, одразу можете говорити.
He's still trying to fly up.
I've tried to bring him up. Maybe I should stop and you should try. We're being patient, folks. This is live international radio without a studio, without the satellite link-ups, without all volunteers and all of us full of heart. We're going to make this.
No, actually, in Ukraine, we're connected via Starlink. There is Starlink connection. There is. Satellite.
Wonderful. And that works better than the satellite uplink I have when I'm up north. And the show frequently suffers from it. So I'm glad the Starlinks are working better.
It seems that I have lost Vladimir.
Okay, let's see. Vladimir, if you want to recycle, come up. We're watching carefully. We'll bring you up just as soon as possible here. Let's see. We lost him again. Wardogo. Again, right from the front. So little hiccups are to be expected. There we go. Let me see.
I see him again.
Okay, he's come up. I've added him. I hope that works. We're waiting to see the connection. All of this in real time, folks. You get the blow by blow, and he is aboard. Thank you so much, Vladimir. Would you, Wardogo, welcome him aboard for us and tell him what an absolute privilege it is to share some time with him? And we've been looking forward to this for quite a while.
Good evening. It's a great pleasure to hear all of you. A little bit of time, not that long, but time flies. And considering the recent news in specifically Kharkiv direction, you've probably heard something of that, right?
We certainly have heard of the wonderful goings-on around Kharkiv, the west of Kharkiv, and most importantly, to the north of Kharkiv. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to have you. We're really looking forward. We respect your time. Thank you, honestly, for taking a few minutes out from the fight to come talk to us. I'd like to get as many questions as we can into the time you have. Thank you again.
Просто це щось неймовірне, що людина з вашою зайнятістю, з вашою спеціалізацією змогла приділити трохи часу. Так, ми чули. Ми дуже слідкуємо за подіями, котрі розвиваються навколо того напрямку, в тому числі, тому можете бути певні, в нас є величезна кількість питань, на частину з котрих, можливо, ви зможете відповісти.
Так, ви можете питати, якщо я матиму, скажімо так, змогу на нього відповісти, то я вам на нього відповім. Також ми з хлопцями хочемо Мрія Репорт та всім тим, хто долучився на збір та придбання автівки.
The questions are welcome. Those that we will not be able to answer, we will honestly mention that. From the very beginning, we would like to thank you, everybody who've been helping, participating, and taking part in the fundraiser for the trucks. And specifically, one of them is working for us. That's a big thank you to all of you. That's from the start. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and we're going to do more, and we're going to do everything we can to help. We, just before Vladimir came on, we were speaking about how the battlefield is changing and how special forces on that new battlefield, how their role is changing. And we don't want Vladimir to get into tactics so much, but I wonder if he could comment a little bit on how the war has changed his role as a special forces commander.
Як на ваших очах змінюється війна, і ви це спостерігаєте, будучи одним з військових, хто командує підрозділом?
Війна змінюється.
The war changes the intensity of the of the fight is not decreasing. The enemy constantly assaults. And great thanks to Ukrainian armed forces who are holding this enemy waves. Our job is specific. We are working on the Kharkiv direction. From what you could heard, what you could already hear in open media, there are a lot of successful things happening in that direction that you already could hear.
Absolutely, very impressive, indeed. We heard previously about a very interesting operation where special forces were used to infiltrate standoff weapons, in this case, artillery pieces, getting them closer to the front in hiding them and being able to conduct a deep strike and then help the artillery unit withdraw. That's an example to me. That's a mission I never did myself, but I can see the real utility in doing it, and especially to hit a Russian target. And I don't think that was done for no reason. It certainly was an important Russian target. Are you often getting the intelligence you need to conduct your operations? And again, you don't have to get too specific. You can tell me to go think about it myself if I want to. But thank you.
Так, ці речі насправді вражають. Ми дуже, дуже, дуже близько слідкуємо за цим. Нещодавно спостерігали одну цікаву річ, як сили спеціальних операцій інфільтрувалися ближче до лінії, виходячи з того, що ціль була, мабуть, дуже важлива. Виходячи з цього, є питання, як часто є, наскільки вдалою в вашому випадку є такі розвіддання для таких операцій. Звісно, не потрібно йти в деталі, нічого більш там конкретного розповідати, так, загальних рисів, якщо можна.
Насправді, всі, скажімо так, спецпідрозділи і вся військова... Ми всі працюємо, скажімо так, хто в тилу ворога, хто на його території. І тому, як би так сказати, правильно, спокою.
Overall, the specifics of the special force units, the whole military intelligence, we all work or behind the enemy lines or deeply at the enemy's territory. They will not have any kind of relief in that perspective. They will get only worse. They will not get the situation getting calm for them. We are very well prepared and we've got very concrete orders from our command. Our command is very, I would call it, appropriate and very thing the right needs. That's probably partially answering your question.
I know he has to be very careful with what he says. I appreciate that. Dealing with the media when I was on active duty is something I never did. So I appreciate that he has to be very careful about what he says. Jana, do you have some questions?
Yes, Jack. Thank you very much, Wardogo. I just said good evening. I do have a lot of questions, but of course, let's do a disclaimer that, of course, Vladimir will only talk about what is possible. First of all, I would like to ask if at the moment they have enough equipment, if everything is okay, or if there is still something that they need. Then I would like to also know, it's going to be several questions, but how is the morale? How is the overall situation? My third one would be, I would like to know, how do they see the enemy behavior? Because we know from some past discussions from the guys from the front lines that they observe Russians also learning, but also doing all the silly things. I would like to know, what is the situation now? Wardogo, your choice. What do you want to start with?
No, it's okay. It's okay. Thank you so much. Як справи у ворога. Моя нам колись сказала, що ворог вчиться, але вони роблять ще величезну кількість всякої дурні. То як з цим взагалі зараз справи йдуть? по порядку. Чи все є, як мотивація і що по росіянам?
Чи все є стосовно цього? Деякі прилади, звичайно, потрібні, але якби поки що немає можливості на них. Стосовно як справи у ворога, в деяких, скажімо так, ви вже бачили, що вони роблять FPV-дрони.
Володимир is having some troubles with connections. We are waiting. There could be like 15 seconds buffer and he may be coming back.
Yes, absolutely. Ooh.
Meantime, I will be translating probably the first answer related
мотивація
to
завдання. Стосовно підрозділів, які стоять з нами, вони...
The answer to the first question, yes. Being a special force unit, we have good equipment and we are equipped pretty well. But still some things, they are always, especially those that are consumables, they are always in some certain need. About the motivation, we get everything okay with the motivation. We are doing our duty. Those with us are in very good mood as well. Everybody's doing their job. About Russians are not that good, but overall, as you rightly mentioned, they're learning. They're doing the specific types of the FPV types. We've got Volodymyr a little bit disappearing with the problem of connection. I will ask that question to be expanded a little bit later. Let's move on.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, please go ahead, Jana.
No, I just wanted to thank Dogo, and I wanted to go to Oyvind, but Chuck, please go ahead if you want to add something.
Oh, I just want to remind our listeners, our generous, if you can do something, put your hand in your pocket. We're not asking for your cable money, your rent money, but we might want you to maybe think about not having three coffees tomorrow. If you've got something you can do to help us, it is greatly appreciated, because one of the things that we do, we raise money to equip units, Volodymyrs, and other frontline units with specific requests that they have. Sometimes those requests are so heartbreakingly humble. For example, 32 pairs of combat pants, something that they should have, but believe me, the shelf life, the operational life of a pair of pants in combat is not very long. What you can do to help is so greatly appreciated. We are in our fundraisers now. As you heard, we've managed to deliver some trucks to the front, to the people who need them. Of course, many other pieces of equipment as well. Even, I think, if you have a question as well, Jana, would you like to bring them up?
Thank you. Thank you very much. In November 23, Lupanchuk took over as the head of Special Operation Forces branch. My question is, do you guys in the field see any difference from previously? And have you met Lupanchuk personally? Thank you.
Термокамерою. То він розповідав якраз про теперішній фундрайзер. А Овінд запитав, що не так давно, в листопаді, було змінено голову сил спеціальних операцій Лупанчук, якщо мене не зраджує пам'ять щодо прізвища. І його питання звучало наступним чином: чи взагалі ось зміна командування міняє щось для операторів на землі? Наскільки відчувається зміна командування для таких військових, як ви, наприклад?
Зміна командування. Та як сказати, кожен командир, він по-своєму бачить поле бою. Поки в нас були зміни командування, це, як би так сказати, пішло тільки на користь. Кожен ніяких проблем не виникало.
Ще ви пропадали в той момент, коли розповідали про мотивацію і поведінку ворога. Зараз я перекладу коротенько вашу відповідь і розкажу про тоді ви пропадали.
Плюс.
Speaking about the new command, actually every commander has his own view on what's going on the ground, on the battlefield. He reads the situation in his certain way. In our case, change of command so far was bringing only good, just simply because the war goes on and every new person is more experienced and every new person is the one who is already at war for all a period of time. That's why, like, for us, or we were just lucky that every command change was bringing only positive for us on the ground. I can speak only about myself. I've asked Volodymyr to repeat the answer related to the enemy's, how things are going in the enemy, and enemy behind the enemy lines, let's call it this way, what is their motivation, and the question that Jan has been asking. Можна про ворога зараз розповісти.
Стосовно, як то кажуть, як справи у ворога. Ворог розвивається технологічно так само, як і ми. Я не можу нічого сказати більш конкретного.
Дякую, цікаво. About an enemy, perfectly know that Russians are, we are technologically advancing and Russians are doing their best to follow up and to advance as well. You've heard probably about their new type of drones, that kind of the guided drones that are very hard to jam because they are work in, how to call it, in more less technological way, very simple way, but very practical way, and very hard to jam such kind of the drone guided by the pilot, let's call it this way, rather than video stream directed. Yeah, this is something that is just the thing that you've already seen and had possibility and heard already from the open media. This is something that I will not expand just because it is not 100% confirmed. This is just the kind of the guess, but we are still trying to understand that part of the technology together with our colleagues.
We have seen some, I won't go into it too much either, there have been some advancements, just as he's saying, in the mechanisms by which Russia is controlling its drones. Again, very simple, maybe not the way of the future, but definitely an innovation. There's always that period when an innovation occurs in the tactical situation, its countermeasure has to evolve. That back and forth period is very difficult. I was very glad to hear that missions are continuing against the enemy rear areas. That's a mission set I know as well. And crossing the zero line, returning across the zero line, are almost the most dangerous parts of the mission. Prowling around in the enemy's rear, of course, is dangerous. But again, on this 21st century battlefield, there are challenges that I never had to face. I wonder if Vladimir, I know it will be a hard subject to talk about, but I wonder if he might shed some light on the new dangers that he faces in those sort of penetration operations.
Скажемо так, що найбільший виклик – це зміна обстановки. Коли, вроді, по одним даним там, скажімо так, нічого не повинно бути, а коли ти йдеш і приходиш, то там вже, скажімо так, трішки з'явився район. І тому тоді вже командир, скажімо так,
For the question that you have asked, the main challenge in this environment is environment evolution or change of the situation. In a sense of, let's imagine there was like an intelligence information where certain data have been provided, right? But when after 1 week or several days you are moving in that area. And if intelligence gave you the report that nothing should be in that area, it was not there. In fact, after a couple of days, there is the whole fortification over there. Then you have to be very agile and to adapt to the situation on the ground and to do the right decisions in the less informed in such kind of environment. That's why all of the reconnaissance, all of the intelligence information, it is always checked twice, three times, but the evolution of the current battleground is that the situation changes pretty fast. Russians are digging fast, Russians are evolving fast, Russians are changing the ground pretty fast, and we get eyes on them, but they are also having eyes on us, let's call it this way. This is new technological change of the war of the 21st century, where it's very hard to do something being unnoticed or unspotted, where every preparation is being like closely observed by the enemy, and you need to do a certain things to be actually unspotted in this environment. That's probably the answer to your question.
That was perfect. Jana.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bordogo and Chuck. Interesting insights. Well, let me welcome some questions from our listeners. We have Pickled Fella first, and then For Every Child. Flicker Fella, please go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much, Jana. Thank you, Chuck, for the wonderful space, for the opportunity to come up to the speaker panel. Yes, I made it intentional to make it very difficult to pronounce my name. I really liked it. But anyway, I do have a question. And also want to say thank you to Wardogo for doing all the hard work translating and interpreting. It's a lot, right? With his permission, if that's okay, I would like to give him a quick break and maybe ask the question myself in Ukrainian. But I will make sure to voice it in both languages. Is it okay, Wardogo?
Go for it, no problem, bro.
Hey, thanks, brother. Really appreciate it. My question is going to be basically, it's no secret that the war in Ukraine has been going on since 2014. I know there's a lot of Western countries that provided training. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it was a hot mic.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just want to make sure Western countries provide a lot of training and support to Ukrainian military special operations. The dynamic of the war has changed significantly. I think to where now we really need to be, because I'm calling from the United States, in the West, NATO, we really need to be learning from Ukrainians. My question would be whether or not this, I know it's a high operational tempo that units like Omega or Vladimir Spadov have to balance time very carefully. If they have the opportunity to share the knowledge and experience with NATO partners now in the opposite direction. У мене для вас є запитання. Не секрет, що війна в Україні триває вже з 2014 року. І до того, як конфлікт перейшов у велику відкриту війну між Росією і країною НАТО, знань, практичного досвіду.
Of course, we are constantly sharing the knowledge and moreover, having a very good instructors, having good instructors in tactical tactics, in the instructors on the shooting range, combat instructors, medical instructors. Obviously, there is the both ways information exchange, and we try to help to actualize certain things that we have on the ground.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jana. We're talking behind the scenes, trying not to interrupt each other, but Jana, please go ahead.
So I wanted to say thank you. Please, Jack, go ahead. You wanted to add something.
Actually, I didn't. I wanted to bring up For Every Child, if you'd like.
Thank you so much, Chuck. It's just a joy to find you on the space at this time in this format. It's just wonderful to be here with you. I always appreciate you co-hosting as well. I definitely want to greet our special guest. I do not speak Ukrainian and I cannot read his name. So if somebody would please give him my regards and my appreciation for him being here. Thank you to all the other speakers on the speaker panel. A special greetings to you, Wardogo, for sure. I absolutely enjoy you being here. But my question is, I'm wanting to know if there is an item that our special guest uses that's not disposable. It would be a hardware type item, and that it would not necessarily, it would be more like we call in the United States an everyday carry item, something that would fit in a pocket that especially meaningful to him. I had asked a question when I was in a class, an emergency preparedness class conducted by the San Francisco Fire Department, what was the most valuable tool that a fireman could carry? I guess this is very much along those lines. That answer was a pair of scissors. Would it be a pair of scissors? Would it be a Swiss Army knife? Would it be a multi-tool? What kind of everyday carry item would be most meaningful to him?
For every child, взагалі можливості, що такий майданчик для спілкування існує, є досить конкретне питання. Що дуже важливого, що ви завжди маєте з собою кожен день, так званий everyday carry, що у вас є з того, що ви ось, наприклад, кожен день не виходите, що це, я не знаю, там ці парамедичні ножиці, чи це швейцарський ніж, чи це мультитул, що є такого, що от завжди у вас в кишені, чи куртки, чи штанів?
Завжди зі мною в кишені це турнікети.
With me always there are tourniquets, one or most commonly two. My personal weapon, and the knife, that's my everyday carry, call it this way.
Thank you very much, Wardogo. Very practical items as well. Wonderful to see you too. For every child, I was very impressed by Flickr's fella's Ukrainian language. Wardogo, if I can have another question for our very special guest, if he can share something, is there any interesting experience he can share with us from his, I don't know, from the latest time that's possible to share on air? Thank you.
Чи є якийсь цікавий досвід, котрим ви би хотіли поділитися, розказати щось цікаве з нещодавнього в межах того, що можна розповісти? Ви маєте зрозуміти, нам цікаво абсолютно все, і іноді навіть...
З недавнього в нас було, ну, це знову ж таки, з того, що я можу розповісти, це ми працювали... Дронами проводили аеророзвідку і знайшли, скажімо так, гарно замасковану позицію противника. І наші хлопці дуже вдало голову окупанту. І один, який, це була граната F1, і вона взорвалась між двох інших окупантів. І внаслідок цього в нас була інформація, так.
From the recent interesting things that can be shared within the load frames, we've been doing the air with the drones and doing our regular routine job, we found pretty good masked positions of the enemy having this beautiful finding. We couldn't hold ourselves from dropping two grenades there, and one of the grenades hit the enemy's head. The second one arrived just in the middle between two other enemies, and from the different other intercepted sources after this mission, we've got several confirmations that all of them where got the tickets to the Kobzon concert. So all of those whom we found, they became a good Russians. And this is translation specifically from me. This is my adoption, Wardogo's adoption.
I think I know what that means. Jana, do you have some questions?
Chuck, I have many questions, but maybe let's go to Flickr fella first, and then I'll ask mine. Flickr fella, please go ahead.
Yoti, thank you so much. No, I also have a lot of questions. I'm just trying to pace myself over here as I'm standing, listening to you guys, almost jumping in one place. It's like, okay, let's go. No, thank you. I know earlier in his answer mentioned that they noticed one of the things that Russians were using drones that were guided by wire, which was really interesting because we discussed this on this space particularly maybe a week ago or two. Dimmer did mention that allows them to basically bring their drone back essentially without being susceptible to any type of jammers or EW devices. And so my question will be to Volodymyr is, what is his assessment about these types of drones that are guided by wire? Can he share maybe what typical distance they can fly? Are they able to bring him back? How is this whole wire thing is managed, really? Because does it roll back on the drone? Was it just basically one-time use? That's the question that I have. Wardogo, do you want to ask or do you want me to ask?
If you ask a question, that would be awesome, because if you're lingual and you can ask a question even in Ukrainian,
Perfect. That's
actually will be fitting absolutely your what you want to ask.
Thank you, Бордаго. Пане Лопічас, робить якийсь, так, наскільки я зрозумів, за рахунок того вони могли відвести дрон і не використовувати, і він, його неможливо було заглушити за допомогою різних систем іншої.
Скажімо, ну, ліска, ну, там, я навіть не можу сказати приблизно, скільки їх було. І, на мою думку, так, це дуже, скажімо так, гарна штука. Якщо, такій пташці вже не буде страшний ніякий ні реп, ні рер противника, нічого. Тільки буде проблема в тому, як її заглушити, хоча б вимкнути камеру, щоб не бачив, щоб противник не бачив, куди він летить. Я можу сказати, що це воно зроблено на основі ПТУРа. Тому що ПТУР – це протитанкова ракета така, установка протитанкова. І вона також керується, провід такий, чи точніше, не то, що провід ліска. І ти ведеш ракету, керуєш її по висоті, вліво-вправо. Ну, і тобто, якщо ти вмієш стріляти з такої ж штуки,
That is actually the technology that we are still guessing, but, you know, not many things we can share yet. Plus, myself, I'm not, like, fully aware about it. But the certain things that I can mention is related that this kind of the technology is with the wires, and the FPVs being guided by wires is somehow similar to the anti-tank rocket launcher system that is called the Russian one TUR. That is actually the rocket that is guided using the wire. It has the wire after that. You are guiding, like lifting up, lifting down, left or right. You are guiding the rocket with the help of the wire. This is analog technology, but it is very... very, how to call it, anti-jamming proof, because is using the wire, and in this respect, this is something that we are getting better knowledge on this. But it seems to be something in that area that could be the answer to the question.
Thank you, Vorondogo. Thank you, Pickled Flicker Fella. Flicker Fella, if you have more questions, please go ahead and ask. I do have some, but mine are very rookie questions, of course, and you obviously have also some special knowledge. So don't hesitate if you have some more.
Don't mind if I do then. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Maybe one more. I don't want to be hugging all the spots over here. But yeah, again, I really appreciate it. По-англійськи, щоб зрозуміли ті, хто слухає. So the question is going to be that I have. I know there's typically a large spectrum of different weapon systems that are being employed in Ukraine, especially in the beginning of the war. There was a mixture of those Warsaw Pact, right? The Russian AKs and that side of things, as well as influx of the NATO standard weapon system. I'm curious what kind of equilibrium they have achieved in deploying those things, right? Because standardizing some of those calibers is probably very important for logistics. I'm curious what they find more effective versus maybe not so much. І як впливає на це сама логістика постачання, наприклад, різного виду там, патронів, наприклад? Дякую.
Дивіться, якщо брати стосовно логістики, я тут вам нічого не можу сказати, бо це вже вище керівництво цим займається. Стосовно використання, якщо брати стрілкову зброю, то, ну, скажімо, різниця дуже суттєва. Тобто це і кучність, і її використання. Але стосовно надійності, радянська буде дещо, скажімо так, краще. Ну, якщо в двох словах, якщо взяти, от у нас ЮАРК, ЮАР-15, це якби фірма зброяр, комплектуючі американські, але це збірка, скажімо так. І дана гвинтівка, якщо використовувати її в польових умовах, вона дуже, скажімо так, випитна. Тобто, якщо десь там утикнувся стволом, або там земля...
Але, вибач, це американська АРка, чи це канадійська? Зрозумів, так?
Да? Так, це американська. Там в ній комплектуючі всі американські і українська. Ну, тобто...
Ні, я маю на увазі, ти порівнюєш з котрою. Ти за кого?
А, я порівнюю цю ЮАРку нашу і порівняння АК.
А, ну, звісно.
Ну, тобто, АК, йому що не роби. Він буде стріляти і все. А ось ЮАРка, вона де більш, скажімо так, ніж.
Добре.
Якщо брати по пістолетам, от, наприклад, в мене був до цього АПС і ГЛОК. Ну, скажімо так, ГЛОК – гарний пістолет. В нього як і кучність, він буде. І... Взагалі, якщо навчитися правильно утримувати зброю, утримувати.
Slating from reverse to the first, from the back to the first. Actually, if you take care about any weapon would work, some weapon needs a little bit of more care, but it doesn't mean that the other one will give you away if you're not going to clean the weapon or something like that. Overall, comparing two weapon types, I don't know, we've got in Ukraine, for instance, the Ukraine UR-10 produced by or Z-15 that is produced by local companies. Zbroyar is like a local producer, but all of the ARs are or AR type rifles, clones, they are produced from US-made components. And different foreign types of weapons, definitely some of them require a little bit of more care than you would do with AK, for instance. And like environment in Ukraine is a tough environment for any weapon, right? Some weapon you have to take care a little bit more. I've been having, for instance, the different pistols I've got in the past, the previous Soviet 8, this Tetchkin one, and carrying Glock is absolutely the different story because it's more precise weapon, is just more lightweight weapon. It's just different to technologically advanced weapon. If you can manage, here I would add something that I've been taught in the early ages, that any equipment type, any weapon is just a multiplicator. The main weapon is actually the human. If the human starts from zero, actually whatever you add, any multiplicator will be multiplicator to zero, and it makes no sense. But if the human is the one who is capable, then every equipment, every piece of the instrument and equipment and whatever is you're using is actually multiplying your skills. Skills is one of the important. Володимир, я розповідав про те, що будь-яке спорядження, будь-який інструмент – це, перш за все, помножувач здібностей і вмінь. А якщо вміння починається з нуля, то що не бери, на що не множ, ну, множити на нуль – це все одно виходить нуль. Тому людина – це і вміння особового складу – це найбільші. I started getting the messages in the background that is getting to the area where he has a little bit of less time than he was expecting. You probably heard the ear rate sirens in the back. Let's give more 5 minutes asking some questions and probably let give Volodymyr some time for his main tasks. And it's definitely not going to be the last our meeting with Volodymyr, and we're going to have more discussions in the future. Volodymyr, я б щойно сказав, що ми 5 хвилин і закруглюємося. Люди можуть ще задавати питання, тому що я розумію, що ви вже на тій території, де... Yeah, I got it.
We want to be very careful about Volodymyr's time. We greatly appreciate every moment he has. And since we'll try to let him wrap it up, Wardogo, is there anything he'd like to say in parting? And again, to thank him so much for taking time out of a very difficult job. to take our questions, but anything he'd like to say in parting, we'd love to hear it.
Окрім величезних подяк з нашої сторони, крім величезної шани і за можливість взагалі спілкуватися і будучи в одному кліку від людини, котра знаходиться в тих умовах, в котрих ви знаходитесь. Можливо, ось ці наступні 5 хвилин є щось, що ви б хотіли сказати, ви б хотіли щось, що є у вас на думці, що ви хотіли сказати всім слухачам Мрія Репорт сьогодні вечором. Розуміючи, що це ми сьогодні просто обмежені по часу, але це не наше останнє спілкування, і ми будемо раді чути і бачити вас разом і в майбутньому, коли у вас буде час. Чи є щось, що ви б хотіли сказати всім? Believe in our victory and everything is going to be Ukraine. Those are the words that...
He knows that we believe in that too, with, to the bottom of our hearts. And Wardogo, please thank him so much. He's welcome up anytime he would like to speak. And we look forward to having him up soon and angels around him in the meantime.
Дуже вам дякую. І ви можете бути впевнені, що ми якраз одні з тих багатьох, котрі підтримують Україну і вірять в перемогу України. І інакше просто бути не може. Ми дуже вам дякуємо за цей час, котрий ми маємо змогу провести з вами, поспілкуватися, доторкнутися до тієї реальності України, котру ви маєте змогу нам розказати. Для нас це безцінно. Дуже вам дякуємо. І ми з вами. Ви можете приходити в будь-який час, коли вам зручно, і можемо завжди поговорити. Тут завжди є величезна кількість друзів, котрі з нетерпінням чекають нашої наступної зустрічі.
Дуже дякуємо вам за вашу допомогу, за те, що допомагаєте нам разом долати окупанта. Дякую. Слава Україні.
So much for being today with me. Thank you so much for helping us. Thank you so much for all of the help that you're doing, that we are capable and more effective in doing our job. That's something that we can line up to Volodymyr's unit, since the hearing protection that were provided by Mirror Report listeners, by the push to talk buttons that we were together raising for Volodymyr's units, for the helmet mounts for the NVGs, for the personal protection, the Kevlar vests that we've been doing, raising the funds together for units, for the tracks that we were doing for 18th Brigade, for Volodymyr's unit. As you heard today, who knows, maybe the track of Volodymyr's guys were exactly somewhere close to the Russian lines doing the job and helping, going here and there, doing the right job and helping the good news that you've heard on the Kharkiv direction being possible. That's the reality. Thank you so much for everybody for supporting. Thank you so much for taking care.
That's great, Wardogo, and thank you, too, for fielding those questions and keeping it going back and forth. It's just an honor to be on with brave men like Vladimir, and who is right at the absolute pointy end, inside, beyond the zero line, and operating against targets in the Russian rear. Of course, the best places to operate as a special forces guy is where you're not expected. It's just a fantastic time. And here on the Maria Report, I think you could watch CNN for a very long time before you would actually hear an interview with a commander of a Ukrainian special forces unit from the field, right? That isn't going to happen. Almost the only place it can or does happen is here. And the Maria Report family, we're all in this together.